dogs, you always know what a dog is thinking. It has four moods: happy, sad, cross, and concentrating. Also, dogs are faithful, and they do not tell lies because they cannot talk. I had been hugging the dog for 4 minutes when I heard screaming. I looked up and saw Mrs. Shears running towards me from the patio. She was wearing pajamas and a house coat. Her toenails were painted bright pink, and she had no shoes on. She was shouting, "What in fuck's name have you done to my dog?" I do not like people shouting at me. It makes me scared that they're going to hit me or touch me, and I don't know what's going to happen. "Let go of the dog," she shouted. "Let go of the fucking dog, for Christ's sake!" I put the dog down on the lawn and moved back 2 meters. She bent down. I thought she was going to pick the dog up herself, but she didn't. Perhaps she noticed how much blood there was and didn't want to get dirty. Instead, she started screaming again. I put my hands over my ears and closed my eyes and rolled forward till I was hunched up with my forehead pressed into the grass. The grass was wet and cold. It was nice. Chapter 7. This is a murder mystery novel. Siobhan said I should write something I would want to read myself. Mostly, I read books about science and maths. I do not like proper novels. In proper novels, people say things like, "I am veined with iron, with silver, and with streaks of common mud. I cannot contract into the firm fist which those clench who do not depend on stimulus." I found this book in the library in town when Mother took me into town once. What does this mean? I don't know. Nor does Father. Nor do Siobhan or Mr. Jevons. I've asked them. Siobhan has long blonde hair and wears glasses which are made of green plastic, and Mr. Jevons smells of soap and wears brown shoes that have approximately 60 tiny circular holes in each of them. But I do like murder mystery novels, so I am writing a murder mystery novel. In a murder mystery novel, someone has to work out who the murderer is and then catch them. It's a puzzle. If it's a good puzzle, you can sometimes work out the answer before the end of the book. Siobhan said that the book should begin with something to grab people's attention. That's why I started with the dog. I also started with the dog because it happened to me, and I find it hard to imagine things which did not happen to me. Siobhan read the first page and said that it was different. She put this word into inverted commas by making the wiggly quotation sign with her first and second fingers. She said that it was usually people who were killed in murder mystery novels. I said that two dogs were killed in The Hound of the Baskervilles, the hound itself, and James Mortimer's spaniel, but Siobhan said they weren't the victims of the murder, Sir Charles Baskerville was. She said that this was because readers cared more about people than dogs, so if a person was killed in the book, readers would want to carry on reading. I said that I wanted to write about something real, and I knew people who had died, but I didn't know any people who'd been killed, except Edward's father from school, Mr. Paulson, and that was a gliding accident, not murder, and I didn't really know him. I also said that I cared about dogs because they were faithful and honest, and some dogs were cleverer and more interesting than some people. Steve, for example, who comes to school on Thursdays, needs help to eat his food and couldn't even fetch a stick. Siobhan asked me not to say this to Steve's mother. Chapter 11. Then the police arrived. I like the police. They have uniforms and numbers, and you know what they're meant to be doing. There was a police woman and a policeman. The police woman had a little hole in her tights on her left ankle and a red scratch in the middle of the hole. The policeman had a big orange leaf stuck to the bottom of his shoe, which was poking out from one side. The police woman put her arms round Mrs. Shears and led her back towards the house. I lifted my head off the grass. The policeman squatted down beside me and said, "Would you like to tell me what's been going on here, young man?" I sat up and said, "The dog is dead." "I'd got that far," he said. I said, I think someone killed the dog.
How old are you?
He asked. I replied, I am 15 years and 3 months and 2 days.
And what precisely were you doing in the garden?
He asked. I was holding the dog, I replied.
And why were you holding the dog?
He asked. This was a difficult question. It was something I wanted to do. I like dogs. It made me sad to see that the dog was dead. I like policemen, too, and I wanted to answer the question properly, but the policeman did not give me enough time to work out the correct answer.
Why were you holding the dog? He asked again.
I like dogs, I said.
Did you kill the dog?
He asked. I said, I did not kill the dog.
Is this your fork?
He asked. I said, no.
You seem very upset about this, he said.
He was asking too many questions, and he was asking them too quickly. They were stacking up in my head like loaves in the factory where Uncle Terry works. The factory is a bakery, and he operates the slicing machines. And sometimes the slicer's not working fast enough, but the bread keeps coming, and there's a blockage. I sometimes think of my mind as a machine, but not always as a bread slicing machine. It makes it easier to explain to other people what's going on inside it. The policeman said,
I'm going to ask you once again.
I rolled back onto the lawn and pressed my forehead to the ground again and made the noise that Father calls groaning. I make this noise when there's too much information coming into my head from the outside world. It's like when you're upset and you hold the radio against your ear and you tune it halfway between two stations so that all you get is white noise, and then you turn the volume right up so that this is all you can hear, and then you know you're safe because you cannot hear anything else. The policeman took hold of my arm and lifted me onto my feet. And I didn't like him touching me like this. And this is when I hit him. Chapter 13. This will not be a funny book. I cannot tell jokes because I do not understand them. Here is a joke as an example. It's one of Father's. His face was drawn, but the curtains were real. I know why this is meant to be funny, I asked. It's because drawn has three meanings, and they are, one, drawn with a pencil, two, exhausted, and three, pulled across a window. And meaning one refers to both the face and the curtains. Meaning two refers only to the face, and meaning three refers only to the curtains. If I try to say the joke to myself, making the word mean the three different things at the same time, it is like hearing three different pieces of music at the same time, which is uncomfortable and confusing and not nice like white noise. It's like three people trying to talk to you at the same time about different things. And that is why there are no jokes in this book. Chapter 17. The policeman looked at me for a while without speaking. Then he said,
I'm arresting you for assaulting a police officer.
This made me feel a lot calmer because it's what policemen say on television and in films. Then he said,
I strongly advise you to get into the back of the police car, because if you try any of that monkey business again, you little shit, I will seriously lose my rag. Is that understood?
I walked over to the police car, which was parked just outside the gate. He opened the back door and I got inside. He climbed into the driver's seat and made a call on his radio to the policewoman who was still inside the house. He said,
Little bugger just had a pop at me, Kate. Can you hang with Mrs. S. while I drop him off at the station? I'll get Tony to swing by and pick you up.
And she said, Sure, I'll catch you later.
The policeman said, Okie doke, and we drove off.
The police car smelt of hot plastic and aftershave and takeaway chips. I watched the sky as we drove towards the town centre. It was a clear night, and you could see the Milky Way. Some people think the Milky Way is a long line of stars, but it isn't. Our galaxy is a huge disk of stars, millions of light years across, and the solar system is somewhere near the outside edge of the disk. When you look in one direction, at 90 degrees to the disk, you don't see many stars. But when you look in another direction, you see lots more stars, because you're looking into the main body of the galaxy, and because the galaxy is a disk, you see a star.